There are many rooms in my father's house. I wouldn't tell you this unless it was true. I'm going there to prepare a place for each of you. After I've done this, I will come back and take you with me. Then we will be together.
How are we doing back there? Okay, I'm on. Thank you so much, Gidget. Gidget just read to you from John 14, 2 and 3, a really important message. And today we're going to discuss that. But before we do that, excuse me, I just want to thank everyone for being here today. And especially guests, we really appreciate you joining us, and you make us complete, so thank you so much for being here with us. So don't hate me for what I'm about to do, but I'm going to ask you to do something active. So I need to remember how to use the clicker, first of all. Is it the top button? Or a side? Okay. So what you're going to do, first of all, be very quick with this activity. Second of all, you're going to need to listen. That's really key. That's like probably the most important thing about this activity. Number three, it could be extremely uncomfortable. It's likely to be awkward, but you will survive. Okay? So is anybody with me at this point? Okay, you don't even know what's going to happen, but you're with me. Okay. So what we're going to do is I am going to have you find somebody that you haven't talked to in a million years, or find somebody you don't know very well, or find somebody you absolutely don't know, and you're going to ask them the question that is up on that screen. So you're going to have an opportunity to ask that question. They're going to have an opportunity to answer it. Then they're going to have an opportunity to ask you the same question, and you will have an opportunity to answer. The answer is the key. You're going to listen. You're going to remember what their answer is. And then you are going to take a selfie with that person. Okay, this is where it might get awkward and weird. It's okay. Just take the selfie, and you're going to text it to that number. Okay? And I'll explain why we're doing this at some point. You'll get it. But just trust me, it's going to be okay. We're going to make kind of a family collage today, and it'll be fun, okay? So someone back there is going to ring a bell. When I say go, we're going to go, and someone is going to ring a bell in about 2 minutes. So you have 2 minutes to do the first part, okay? Ask the question, get the answer, then we're gonna ring the bell, then you're gonna switch roles, and you're gonna have another 2 minutes to do the same thing. And then we'll get back together, and you gotta do the selfie thing in there somewhere and get it done, okay? Can we all do that?
Oh yes.
Aye aye. Okay, let's go. Start. Hello. All right. Okay. All right. Does everybody have somebody? Yeah? Okay. Good. Okay. Okay. Here I come. Okay. In what place or situation do you feel the greatest sense of belonging? What's your favorite place to be? Home. Okay. I'm buying that. Yeah. What about you?
That's changed over the years.
But, yeah. What would it be like right now?
Presently, greatest sense.
lot of identity wrapped up in it.
Mm. Identity in what way?
Because of the maturity that I'm, where I'm at with the culmination of decisions and recognizing that, how would I put it, that it isn't, I mean, it isn't just about that, but that there's a great sense of belonging knowing that when I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some of that's born from having the tornado siren go off and going, I need to get home.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Kids yeah. And feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
To
mm-hmm.
And recognizing that that would not necessarily have been a first thought about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been my safety.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Okay.
So great. Changing perspective.
Yeah. So. Good. Okay, that was our 2-minute warning. So I'm going to tell you that my greatest sense of belonging, obviously I've had time to think about this because I planned it, but really it's with my husband. I feel the best. I have a couple places. I feel the best when I'm with my husband because I feel non-judged and pretty free to be myself. I'm probably my most authentic self in that relationship. So. Yeah, it's a safe, there you go, it's a safe place. So, yeah.
All right, selfie time.
Selfie.
You get to be in the selfie. You get the photo bombing.
Okay, I don't know how I'm getting there, but.
Turn it the other way.
Here. Just jump out here.
Okay. Try doing it that way because of what we're going to do with it. I think that's going to be. Thank you.
Hi, everybody.
At work?
Yeah. It's good to see you.
You too.
Hi. Did you have a good day on Friday? I met you, I think, on Friday, didn't I? Yeah? Okay. Is this your sister? Nice. Hi. Mm-hmm.
Is that your phone number?
No, it's Bob's. Bob Bishop.
Okay.
Okay, let's wrap it up. All right, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes? Okay, good. I heard some rumbling over here. Oh, I've never taken a selfie before, so cool. That was awesome. Fun experience, huh? Okay, does anybody hate me at this point for being a social engineer? Okay, I know some people don't like that kind of thing, but what I'm talking about today is belonging. And whether we know it or not, everyone on this planet belongs. Whether they know it or not, everyone on this planet belongs. So, raise your hand if you remember, and know this, that I might call on you. Raise your hand if you remember the answer the person gave you. Okay, I'm going to call on you then. I'm going to call on you right here. Yeah, you, the one that's looking back. The one that's looking behind you. What did you find out about that person? Say it loud.
Normandy said that she belonged to the church.
Norma Jean says that she feels the most sense of belonging in the church. Is that correct, Norma Jean?
Absolutely.
Right on. Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay. Mary, you raised your hand.
My person said when they're in their home.
Mm-hmm. And what was the reason? Did they give you a reason?
They just said it was their reality. They had been living somewhere else, and when they came home, it was to this place. It was just that sense of belonging. It really wasn't people as much as home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, who over here? Raised your hand. Can you raise your hands again for me over here? Okay, Julie.
I met Scott.
Uh-huh.
He feels like he belongs with his wife. He has a special
relationship. Right on. That's the answer I gave too. I mean, with Don, my husband. I feel I could go anywhere and be anywhere, and if he's there, I belong. I'm good to go. Sheila. Who did you talk to, or what did they say?
They said they felt the most sense of belonging at church.
Mm-hmm.
Because
they felt the peace of God. Did anybody, that's wonderful, did anybody get an answer that you just like blew you out of the water? Like you couldn't imagine ever somebody having that answer. Did anybody answer like that? Sherry. Oh. So the person that Sherry talked to said that they feel they most belong when they are helping other people. Amen. Wow. That does blow me out of the water. That's wonderful. What an amazing answer. So why did I have everybody just do this? You know, it was just a way to put on our social training wheels and start working towards a community of being connected. And you're probably saying to me, some of you are probably saying in your mind right now, what are you talking about? We're connected. Well, I wish that I could say that that is true for every person in this church. But I do happen to know for a fact that that is not true for every person in this church. I have had multiple people tell me that they don't belong here. They don't feel connected. They feel lonely. They feel left out. And I don't know if that surprises you or not, but it is our reality. We live in a world where connection is actually a problem. Someone mentioned today where, you know, we have a lot of cyber connection, but do we actually have real connection with people all the time? Probably not. There's a lady named Brené Brown. She is a professor and a researcher, also a social worker, and she does interesting work. She asks people about things that matter to them. She studies different subjects like shame and vulnerability. She's done some work on belonging. And what she has asked participants is, what are their concerns around the idea of belonging? And they reported that they have a feeling of being surrounded by an us versus them culture. If you think about that, an us versus them culture, and I think in our culture, it seems to be becoming more and more divisive as time goes on. And I see Sheila nodding her head. She's in agreement with me. If you listen to any media of any kind, any news of any kind, you will hear this stuff, and you will understand that people seem to be going like this instead of coming together. And so I think it's pervasive in the bigger world, but it also can be pervasive in our own church family. And people actually go so far when they feel disconnected, they will go so far as to get themselves into bad relationships, join cults, join terrorist groups, go to the extremes just to belong, you know? And we see, too, where people will join gangs and risk their lives in an effort to belong to something. So it's a deep human need that we have. And there's a reason for that, because God made us to live in community. When you think about God's people over the history of the Bible that we have recorded, they are meant to be in community. He actually created them in community. He created them to be like him. He is community. We believe that he's a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he already is a community. He has created us the same way. As Christians, should we be concerned about this issue? Yes. Should we care whether or not people feel like they belong? Yes, I think we should. The Bible has a few things to say about this. And I got to get my clicker going here. See what else I put up here. Oh. In Psalm 103, you know the Lord is God. He created us. And we belong to him. Who belongs to him? So anybody who's created, right? We belong to him. We are his people, the sheep in his pasture. And when you think about people just in the world, not even in our church, also in our church, but just in the world, this is their true identity. When you think about that, people are so concerned about identity today. Identity is a huge deal in our culture. People want everybody to know who they are and to stand out as an individual. But this is our real identity, right? We belong to him. And here we go. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. If you are all one in Christ Jesus. So if for you are what? Yes. How many? Who's one? All of us. All of us are one in Christ Jesus. That's in Galatians 3:28. So in Christ, who? We, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. Romans 12:5. Think about that for just a minute. Just pause on that thought. Each member belongs to the others. If I belong to you and you belong to me, do we share that responsibility for belonging? I think we do. I think we share the responsibility for people to belong. And there's a reason why we're called brothers and sisters in the Bible. In God's kingdom, actually the most important family relationship is not a physical relationship, but it's a spiritual relationship. And Jesus himself pointed that out when he was asked, where, you know, your brother, your mother and your brother are here. And he says, no. These are my mother, brother, and sisters right here. This community, this spiritual community, these people that are in the kingdom of God. So he himself pointed that out. So how do we, the body, accomplish this challenging goal that we have? And it is a challenging goal. Getting to know people, helping people to feel connected can be messy. It can be time-consuming, it can be awkward, it can have some failure to it, but it also can be extremely rewarding too. So how do we get ourselves there to accomplish this goal? Well, first of all, I think we actually need some conviction in our hearts that we actually want this type of a culture. And we need to get over ourselves. The reason why we need to get over ourselves is that we get too involved with thinking about why we can't do this. So we're thinking, oh, I don't have the greatest personality. I've got nothing to offer people. I'm too busy. My family isn't together enough. I don't have awesome cooking skills. And actually, I think this is a description of myself when I made that list. But, you know, we shouldn't let that get in the way of going on God's mission, right? So we need to want it. And the truth is that we are never going to be enough. So what we need is we need to ask the Holy Spirit to convict and empower us, right? How many of you believe that the Holy Spirit is powerful? Yes. Amen. I'm with you on that. The Holy Spirit is powerful, and I know that because the Holy Spirit has helped me to do many things that I never thought I could do. And I think that the Holy Spirit, I know that the Holy Spirit will help you to do many things that you never thought you could do. So let's look at some practical ways that we can go about this to help others to be part, feel a part, to feel connection. First of all, extremely important, remember that everyone on this planet has inestimable value. Why do they have value? They're created. Jesus, excellent, excellent. They are created by God. Jesus died for them. So who are we to say how much value a person has? It's interesting because we kind of sometimes tend to think of ourselves as having more value than other people. But the reality is that we are all equal in God's sight. And that person is extremely important to God. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." He gives them the right to become the children of God. So that means every potential person has a right to be a child of God, to be treated as a child of God, to be as valuable as anybody else on this planet. And I'm exploded that verse by bringing in the Greek language, which is pretty cool. But as many as lambano, as many as take him by the hand, to them he gave the exousia, the power of choice or / liberty to do as one pleases. So everybody, God gives everybody a choice to take him by the hand. He's given them that power. It's actually a power. And to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. We need to promote that power in people's lives. Accept people and give them freedom. You know, when Jesus approached people, and I'm thinking about the woman at the well right now. When he approached the woman at the well, he didn't make her sign a paper, take a vow, change her religion. He offered her an eternal spring of water, an eternal source of life, free of charge. There were no strings attached to that. So, can we give people that kind of freedom? To be who they are and to express themselves the way that they express themselves without having any negative consequences attached to that, without ignoring them, without talking about them behind their back, without calling them out, without judging them. Are we willing to give that kind of freedom to people? I think that's super important for people to feel accepted is that we take them as they are and accept them for who they are, as Christ did with people. Listen to learn. We practiced listening to learn today, right? Did you find that kind of fun in a way? That was kind of fun in a way. So listening to learn and not to judge. Okay, I have a personal problem with judging. I just have to admit that. And I have been asking God to help me with that problem for quite a few years. I grew up in a very judgmental home, and it's kind of been habitual. It's been a habitual problem because those kind of tapes play in my head. So it is something that I'm working on. God in his grace is helping me with that, but I still have more work to do. So I'm trying to put away the judgy side, and it wants to sneak in. But our example is Jesus. Did Jesus get all judgy with the man at the pool of Bethesda? I must admit that when I read that story of the man, that the lame man that's been by the pool for quite a few years, he sounds like to me he's giving excuses like, oh, you know, I don't have anybody. I don't have anybody to help me. And people jump in there before I do. And in my mind, I hear a whiny voice. So I'm pretty judgy about that. But Jesus didn't judge that. What he did was he asked, do you want to get well? Get up and walk. He encouraged him. Get up and walk. You want to be well. Can I do that with other people? Can I encourage them? Can I listen and encourage and not judge? You know, we think that people can come up with solutions. I'm thinking about the lame guy. Well, why don't you get a team together? You know, why don't you start doing some exercises so you can, you know, kind of crawl your way to the edge? You know, why don't you put a poster up and advertise? Like, I don't know what he did or didn't do. But instead of doing that, you know, encouragement sounds good. Does anybody have an amen on that one? Encouragement, right? Learn and encourage. Oh, this is a huge one. Don't assume things about people. Assumption is rather an arrogant position if you think about it, because you think you know. You've already prejudged. You think you know. You've got it all figured out. But this actually blocks new information from coming in. So if you look at someone and you assume something about them, you may be missing the biggest thing about their life that you could learn about them. So don't assume that because people have a ton of friends, they have a big family perhaps, they look pretty happy, don't assume that they don't need you in their life. Don't assume that there's something missing there. Take the time to find out. See if you can listen and find out. Get to know people. Because sometimes we assume that people are doing well when they're not. And I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but I've had that experience of assuming things about someone, and it turns out that they really weren't doing as well as I thought they were. And I was sorry that I missed that. So let's do that. And on the other hand of that, if you are someone who is feeling left out, feeling like you don't belong, feeling like nobody cares, don't assume that that's true. Okay? Don't assume that nobody likes you. Don't assume that, you know, oh, I'm never going to fit in, or, you know, take a chance and approach somebody. Seek out somebody that you think you can trust. Tell them how you feel. Sometimes we're busy And we don't know how other people feel. But it would be important for us to know. I think most of us in here would care if somebody was having an issue or a problem. I think we would. And I think we would want to know. So if you are that person, please reach out to somebody. And right there, I added that Proverbs as far as trying to understand people. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. So how much do we want to understand about people? There's our motivation. How much do we want to understand? Let's think about that. Okay. This is a really significant text in the Bible. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. So in other words, if you take that to say that people don't actually see God in person, you know, in visual, typically, right? We don't see God. No one has ever seen God. But how do they see God? The answer is there in that text, right? If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the Bible also tells us that Christ lives in us. So if Christ lives in us, if we've seen Christ, he is a reflection of the Father. Right? So you may be what people see as a representation of God, and you may be who that person can see his love in. Right? I think we know that intellectually, but we need to think about that maybe a little bit more and contemplate it a little bit more. His love is made complete in us. That's an amazing thought. One of our church family here in AG told me that her vision of what she desires in our church is this: awesome music, laughter and joy, and a place where the Spirit shows the love of God that the world has yet to see. She just texted that to me one day. The love of God that the world has yet to see. I love that vision. And I think that many of you would agree with that vision. I want to tell you just a real quick story. Or just an experience. My husband Don and I, we like to visit different churches when we're away. We found ourselves in LA last weekend. and I've always been curious about this Seventh-day Adventist church that is off of the 101 freeway that you can see as you're going southward. It's purple. And so I'm like, I want to go to the purple church. It looks really cool. And I bet there's some cool stuff going on there. Because it's in Hollywood. It's like, okay, yeah. And so I said to Don, I really want to go to that church. He's like, okay. So we went to the church. And it's a really cool building. It's old. It looks like, I think the architecture reflects the 60s. I think it was built in the 60s at some point. And it's beautiful. It's kind of big, but there aren't that many people that go there. Sorry. And we went in, and it's actually in downtown, freeways, concrete everywhere. And there are lots of homeless people around there. There's tons of tents. There are all kinds of people roaming around. There's a lot of trash and stuff. And so we approached it, and we went in. They have, in their lobby, they have a huge area with a coffee bar, and they have a nice, comfortable seating area where they have screens that they can play the service. And they had a lot of people hanging out in there, right in the reception area. And super friendly greeters. We went in, and again, there weren't that many people in there. But there were people of every race and every color, and male and female, and high and low. And we were singing songs. They had beautiful music with a guy who played a guitar and a girl who sang. And I got to tell you that I had an emotional moment because I realized that there were people smoking cigarettes out in front of the church. They had a little place for them. And they had homeless people inside the sanctuary. They were allowed to bring their drinks in. It was relaxed. It was loving. And I said, I love this church. If I lived down here, I'd be going to this church. And I loved it because it was accepting of every single type of person that you could imagine. And I think of that as the ideal Christian gathering. That any person who walks into the sanctuary feels that they belong there. Feels accepted. Feels like it's a place of peace. And that was the thing that got me too, is that with all this, you know, this freeway right here and all the hubbub going on in the city and all the noises and everything, you could come into this quiet place that actually felt, even though it was a large venue, it felt cozy. It felt like a sanctuary. It felt like a sanctuary in the sense of a safe place. It felt like a place where you could come, belong, and be apart from a chaotic world. So here's a challenge. And I want you to think about this. You took some action today because you took a selfie and you asked some questions, but I'd like for you to take a challenge home with you too. And that is, if your family, have a discussion with your family about, hey, what could we do to be more inclusive? What could we do to widen our circle, to allow some more messiness and complication into our lives with the mission of loving people? If you're a single person, you can do that on your own. Or I would suggest that you team with somebody or team with a family and say, hey, I want to do this. I want to see if I can be a catalyst for someone else to feel that they belong in this church community, in this family of God. So I'm putting that challenge out for you, and I hope you will take the challenge. I think there's great growth that could happen. I think that it is important that we address the issue. I think it is important that we take it seriously. We have a commission to do that. And it looks like we might be living together someday. I was talking to Amy Register about how we should have started a commune when she was here. She's like, yeah, we should have started a commune. Because there are people that need community, right? But it sounds like we might live together. There are many rooms in my Father's house. I wouldn't tell you this unless it was true. This is Jesus talking. I'm going there to prepare a place for each of you. After I've done this, I will come back and take you with me. Then we, spreading out wider and wider, will be together. I can hardly wait to be together with Jesus and to be together with all of those who love Jesus. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to take a moment to ask your Holy Spirit to make a big change in our lives, or maybe even a little change. But Lord, give us a heart to love others, to help others to be included and to belong, to help ourselves to belong. Lord God, we do not want to be just readers of the word, but we want to be doers of the word. And you've shown us today, God, that we need concern about this area of our lives and for others. I pray, Lord, that you give us the power. And we thank you, God, for all the wonderful blessings. We thank you, God, for loving us so deeply. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go with God.
But he brought me in, oh, his love for me, oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died.
a place.